This morning we're going to talk about vision. We're going to continue our series on rebuilding the walls. And I want to talk a little bit about Nehemiah today. In this series, we're going to be looking at vision for the church, vision for ourselves as individuals, and vision as an overall body of Christ. The goal of this vision, the goal of rebuilding the walls, the goal of strengthening our church family so we can help strengthen yours, is so that we can reach more people with the gospel of Christ. That is our ultimate goal, is to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to be using the Bible, of course, Book of Nehemiah, some other places, and we're also using it's called It by Craig Rochelle. Some of this stuff is coming from that book, too. If you want to look on your outlines, you can follow along. Let's just have a word of prayer as we get started. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for each person that is here. I thank you for the vision that you have given us. And I pray that as we study and learn more about your word, Father, that your presence will be made known in this place. Help us to know that we are doing your will for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nehemiah was given an impossible vision from God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. That's your first blank there. Nehemiah was given an impossible vision from God to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. Why was this impossible? Well, for one thing, he was not living in Jerusalem. He was living in Susa. And another thing is that he was an Israelite. And an Israelite did not have standing at this time. They had been conquered by other nations. The other thing, building the walls of Jerusalem was a big project. It was way too big for one person to do, and it was considered to be impossible to do. Yet he was given this burden by God, and he prayed to the Lord. And when he prayed to the Lord, he said, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. His prayer reveals to us that his motive, his motivation in seeking out this vision, his motive for going to rebuild the walls was not to make a name for Nehemiah, but it was to make a name for the Lord. Make a name for God. Our vision in Hayes Christian Church is not to build up Hayes Christian Church, not to build up any of us individually, but our goal is to build up the Lord Jesus Christ. However God prepares us to do that, however that manifests itself in what we do, that's what our goal is, to glorify God and to reach the people of our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the impossible task that Nehemiah was given to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem was not something that took a year to do. Not 2 years, not 3 years. It took him 52 days. 52 days. Nehemiah and the people of God were able to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. An impossible task that could have taken years took 52 days. When God is behind the vision that you have, when God is truly moving, He can make the impossible happen. The vision that we have for Hayes Christian Church is a God-sized vision. It is God-sized vision. And you may say, how are we going to do it? How are we going to rebuild the walls, as we're saying? The simple answer is, we're not going to. We can't. We cannot reach this vision if we're just doing it on our own. It is going to take an act of God to move in this place for us to reach the vision that we believe God has given us. The vision, summed up, says strengthening our church family so we can help strengthen yours. Everything we do as a church needs to have the mindset of what are we doing for others? And that's our second part of this message, is outward focused. We need to be outwardly focused. The church is one of the only organizations in the world that is supposed to be more focused on those who are not in it than on the members that are in it. Do you see that? Most organizations talk about caring for their members, making sure their members get what they need. The church, as a church, we're supposed to be focused on what do others need? What do other people need? Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. Now, how do people see the church? Do people see the church as a place of love and compassion and caring? Maybe. Maybe not. I saw a bumper sticker once that said, "Jesus, please save me from your followers." It's kind of funny until you stop and really think about it. Save me from your followers. How are we acting when we're not inside this church building? How are we living our lives? Because that's what matters. What you do here for 2 hours each Sunday is important. But it's nothing compared to the other... Somebody quick do the math. How many hours in a week? And then subtract two. That many hours. How many? 166? Okay, 166 hours. How are you spending that 166 hours? In the book that we were reading for men's study, the It book, it talks about a pastor who went to a church. Excuse me. He went to the church and he met the secretary. And the secretary said, "Well, you better preach a good sermon because we've got a visitor coming." So there's a lot of questions you have for that. Obviously, visitors were not a common occurrence, but she had called to get directions that morning and was coming. So he went out with one of the elders to greet the visitor as she got there. She got out of the car. She wasn't dressed up. She was just wearing jeans and a t-shirt. She wasn't dirty, but you could tell that she had had a hard life. As she walked up to the door, the elder took a step in front of her and said, "Young lady, we dress our best for the Lord." With tears in her eyes, she turned around and went back to her car and drove away. Is that how people view the church? And is that how churches are treating other people? Now, I don't know anyone in here that would tell someone that they can't come to church because of the way they're dressed or because of the way they smell or anything like that. I believe that we are a very accepting church, and I hope that that is how people view us and experience us. Because you come as you are to Christ. You don't change and then come. You come as you are. But where in that story is the kingdom focus? Where in that story is the focus on reaching the lost for Jesus Christ? Even the secretary was more concerned about getting a visitor into church. And the part that I forgot to mention is that she said, "Because we need to pay the bills," was her motivation for making a good sermon. So why are we inviting people to church? Are we inviting people because we need to pay the bills? I mean, certainly I appreciate getting a paycheck. I'm not going to lie. But that's not our primary motivation. Our primary motivation needs to be to reach out to others. When we are not outwardly focused, we become like a hospital who won't accept patients. We become a hospital who won't accept patients. So how are we doing as a church? How are we doing at reaching out to others? One of the things that's coming up is the event. And I know a lot of you have questions about the event. What is the event? The event doesn't tell you a whole lot. But it's a cool name, isn't it? It's the event. But the purpose behind the event is to be able to reach out to people who may not otherwise come to church. The purpose of the event is to provide a safe place, a non-threatening place, for people to come and just have fun. We're not going to be preaching for the whole hour and a half. We're not going to be telling people you have to become a member of the church right now. You're not dressed right. You're doing this, this, this. It's a come-as-you-are type event. We're going to be ministering to the kids, and we're going to be ministering with the adults. And the purpose of that, again, is to provide an opportunity for people to come to church without having to, quote, come to church. We all know people that will not come to church. They just won't. But that brings us to part three, which is our responsibility. There are three things that are needed in order for people to come to Christ, according to Craig Groeschel. The first thing that a church needs if they are going to bring people to Christ is people who don't know Christ. Duh. Exactly, Bubba. Thank you. People who don't know Christ. It's the old preaching to the choir thing. If all of us are Christians, then it's really going to be difficult for us to have new Christians here. Okay, and second thing that a church needs is a clear explanation of the gospel. We need to know our testimonies. That's why we do Testimony Sunday. That's one of the reasons. We need to know our story. We need to know the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And third, we need a genuine faith. We need a faith that people can see the other 166 hours of the week. Because if people see us here for 2 hours, and then see us in the week doing totally the opposite thing or not following and living the way that we say we live, then these 2 hours are not going to mean anything to other people. Now, I have on your sheet a gut check. A gut check. First question. Do you invite people to church or church-related events on a regular basis or ever? Now, I'm not asking you how many of them came. I'm asking you, how many have you asked? How many have you invited? There are a lot of things that we do during the week and throughout the year that you can invite people to come to that aren't going to be a church service. Many people, when they start going to church, do not come to Sunday school and the worship service. They start by coming to other things. They start coming to Survivor Party. They start coming to the event. They start coming to Phoebians. They start coming to men's fellowship and men's breakfast. Those things are things that are easier in some ways to invite people to. How many have you invited to those things? The second gut check question is, how many non-Christian friends do you have in your life right now? I know that it's difficult for some when we get into the church bubble, if you want to call it that, that we realize that as we mature in the faith, that our friends start becoming more and more Christian. Is that I don't like that terminology, but the more you look around your friends and family, perhaps, you're hanging around with more people with like faith, which is a good thing. That can be good. Good thing. But where are we intersecting our lives with people who do not have a faith? And how many of those friends have you invited to church or some other church activity? We need to be intentional about sharing the news of Jesus Christ with other people. That needs to be a priority for us. We need to be sharing the gospel with other people. Now, as a church, new things, new events can sometimes be scary because we might fail. And that's part four is failure is an option. And I'd maybe say failure is essential. As a church, we need to be willing to try new things and be okay with failure, because failure is essential. One ministry since I've been here, next week, I will have been here for 2 years. That's exciting. I'm excited. Hopefully many more years. But I don't know, we have a board meeting today. But one ministry that we tried was the college group. We tried and we tried and we tried. We spent money trying to, you know, make ourselves known to the college community. We spent time. I went to college fairs. We went to college fairs. Billy sat at a table for all day handing out things about the church, trying to reach out to college students. Now, that ministry did not go anywhere. It dropped down to one person, and for that one person, it was very important to her, and she did grow spiritually through that. But now she's gone. So we have no college ministry at this point. Now, do we say, oh, well, guess college students aren't important to God, just forget them? Of course not. If we had 14 college students come next week and they all had a desire to do a Bible study during the week, we would jump on that. We would say, absolutely, we can do that. But sometimes God does not bless certain ministries for specific churches. Your church, our church, cannot do every ministry that we think of. I think it would be great if we had a ministry that people would go detail my car. I think that would be a great ministry. I think it would be a great ministry to get me some Blu-rays discs or a Seahawks jersey. I mean, those are good ministries. But not every, what? But not every church can do all of those important ministries. Huh? It is my birthday this month. But not every church can do every ministry. There was a guy at a church who he met, I think this was in the book too. He met another pastor at a conference, and he said, he was a church of 400, and he said, we have 183 ministries at our church. And he said this with pride. 183 ministries with 400 people. If every person was in a ministry, you've got, what, 2.5 people in each ministry? I mean, that's ridiculous. How can you maintain that? So we have to look and see, who do we have in the church? Where is God calling us as a church? Because God's not calling us to be like the other churches in the community. God has a specific purpose for Hayes Christian Church. And our pleasure and our joy is to get out and find that. It's not to create our own. It's to see, where does God want us to be ministering in this community? And sometimes we're going to fail at that. And God knew ahead of time that the college ministry was not going to be, quote, a success as far as something that we're going to continue. Now, I wouldn't say that it was a failure, because I saw spiritual growth in those kids that were there. How old am I that I just called college students kids? Oh, my. Hey, I'm not in your world yet.
Yeah, you are.
But if we're so scared of failing that we don't try anything new, that we don't try these things and try these experiments to reach out, then we're not going to be there to step into what God may have for us. All paths don't end up like we want to. But God can use those paths, no matter what paths we take, for His glory. And it's for His glory that we do these things. It has been said that the antidote for failure is not success, but rather small doses of failure. Are you willing to hang on to that? Because we're trying new things. We're trying this thing called the event. We're trying different things with VBS. We're doing these different ministries. And if we fall flat on our face, that's fine. It's okay. Because God still has a plan for us. And though it may not be in the way that we thought it was going to be, God has a plan. When we get hold of that truth and realize that and live that out, we're free from the fear of failure. Part five is the specifics. Strengthening our church family so that we can help strengthen others. Say that with me. Strengthening our church family so we can help strengthen yours. It should be yours. So we can help strengthen yours. There's five areas of emphasis for that. And the first one, because we're talking about rebuilding the walls, we're talking about GATE is the acronym. So the G is get into family groups. Get into a family group. A family group is going to be discussed at length next week. So for right now, just know that you should get in one. And it's a good thing, and it'll be a good thing. Okay? Get into a family group. It's a family group that you will eat together, play together, eat together, study together, eat together, fellowship together, learn together, and probably eat together. If you're in my family group anyway. So get into a family group. A group of people that will be there to support one another through life's ups and downs. The A is attend church. Attend church. And this is focusing on us committing to attending church and also bringing other people to church with us. We need to take an active part in this. And every one of us needs to take the responsibility to bring people to church. Do you know which NBA player has the record for the most missed shots? Michael Jordan. Do you know who was the league leader in points scored for 11 out of his 15 seasons? Michael Jordan. If you don't shoot the ball, you can't score any points. You may invite the same person to church from now until Jesus comes again, and they may say no every time. But if you don't ask, are we just going to assume that they're going to look us up in the yellow pages and come? We have to take that active step. And are we bringing people? Are we stressing attendance because we want to pay the bills? No. Are we stressing attendance because we want to be known as a big church or as a church that's growing really fast? No. We are wanting to grow the church to the point that God has for us, so that we can most effectively reach the people that God has brought to us. Rick Warren has said that if there are people in your community that do not know Jesus, then your church is too small. If there are people in your community that do not know Jesus, then the church is too small because we're not reaching out. God is going to take care of the numbers. God is going to take care of the numbers. Togetherness is the letter T. And this is membership. Joining in membership. Joining with us as a body of Christ. Identifying yourself as a Christian and as a follower of Christ at Hayes Christian Church. And E is enter the water of baptism. Following God through obedience into the waters of baptism. The baptism class, if you are not baptized, this is something that is essential for your spiritual growth. It is essential to your growing closer to God. It's also a requirement for church membership that you have been baptized as an adult. or as a child who made the conscious decision to do so. If you have not done that, I would encourage you to come to the baptism class, which will be in 2 weeks. You're not committing to be baptized just by coming to the class. And I'm not going to spring a thing of water on you and dunk you when you're not looking. Okay? But you need to come and take a serious look at what God is calling you to do as far as baptism. There's a lot of reasons why people don't get baptized. Lots of reasons. But God doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say in the Great Commission, be baptized unless you have a really good reason. He says, be baptized. Now the final part of rebuilding the walls is the financial part. And the financial part is tough. It's tough to stand up here in the times that we live in. We hear people losing their jobs. People are losing their homes. People are scraping together just to make ends meet. Yet there is a financial aspect of rebuilding the walls. If every family unit in the church, as a family, was willing to give $18 a week for a year, we will reach our goals by the end of this year. $18 a week. And that sounds like a lot, I know. Lori and I were talking about it, and for us, it's going to be eating a meal at home, one meal at home instead of going out to eat. And that's what we've decided to do. We'll eat at home that one meal because we eat out probably more than what we should. And I'm not asking you all to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. We are contributing to this just as we're asking you to do. $18 a week over and above your regular tithe and offering. Because we still have the general expenses that come up every month. But in order for us to reach our financial goals for rebuilding the walls, it's $18 per week. Now, what are we going to spend that on? The first thing that we're going to do is we are going to increase our missions giving by 20%. We are going to increase our missions giving by 20% because it's not all about us. We have to put our money where our mouth is. And if we truly believe that we are strengthening our church family so we can help strengthen yours, that means we need to give of the money that comes in and we need to give it out. So we are looking for a 20% increase for all seven of our regularly monthly supported missions. 20% increase. The second thing that we're looking for is to hire a part-time associate pastor whose emphasis would be primarily on music and the worship service. Music, our worship team is awesome, and I love them to death. And I do not want anything negative to ever be said about them because they are up here. If you don't like something, you come up here and do this. Because they practice and they work their tails off each and every week to worship God. And so what we want to do is we want to find an associate pastor who will come in and work with our team. Because we have the talent that we need. God has provided the worship team that we have for a reason. And He is going to provide the person that's going to come and work with them to take it to the next level. And I believe that with all of my heart. And that is going to be awesome. But it takes financial contributions. And that is what our second goal is, the part-time associate pastor. Our third focus is worship and administrative technology. We need to do some things to help us get up into the 21st century a little bit more as far as some of our worship technology. And the fourth thing is to hire a part-time administrative assistant who will help try to organize me in some way. Good luck with that one. So the final numbers are missions giving, $3,120. the music pastor, and this is for part-time, 20 hours a week, including the taxes that we would have to pay on them. These are all inclusive numbers. $16,770. Worship technology, $2,500. Administrative assistant, about $6,000. So the total rebuilding the walls is $28,427. I told you it was going to be God-sized. It's God-sized. Can we raise $28,000 in a year over and above what we already have? No. But God can. And we can have faith that God will do miraculous things. And if we get to the end of the year and we don't have this, is that, do we say, oh, well, forget it all? No. Because we trust that God has a plan for us. We believe that this is where God is calling us right now. Maybe He has another plan. Or maybe He's calling us down this road to teach us something else that we need to learn along the way. Of course, we won't spend the money until we have the money. We're not going into any sort of debt for this. And when we get a year's salary for an associate pastor, then we're going to have to talk about how are we going to pay him or her the second year's salary. These are all things that we have been thinking about and we are thinking about. But this is where I believe strongly that God is leading our congregation. And the elders and the deacons have come alongside, and we support this mission and this vision as a board. And I am ecstatic to see what God is going to do here at Hayes Christian Church. And I am so thankful that He brought Lori and I here to Hayes Christian Church, because I'm having fun. I really am. I got the best job in the world, and it's right here at Hayes Christian Church.